We're going to be starting this morning a series of lessons on the parables. I want to begin by telling you a story about a fellow many, many years ago in the church that came to me one day, and he asked me if I had visited an erring member that we had in the church there at the time, and I said, no, I had not visited him. And he started, you know, inquiring as to why I had not, you know, gone to visit. And I said, well, have you gone to visit him? And he said, no, that's what we hired you for. No. And, you know, that kind of an idea and a concept of where, you know, we have other people do what we're supposed to be doing, that might work in the world, but it doesn't work with God. Okay? And so, you know, we really need to take a look at, you know, what it is that we ourselves individually are doing. And that's why I want to look at the parables. Okay? Because the parables Jesus used to get people to look at themselves individually. A personal glimpse, if you will, into their own place in that story to see, where do I fit? And Jesus used those stories or parables very effectively that way. They were a challenge by Jesus to, again, have people look at themselves, not look at anybody else, not look across the aisle or anywhere else in your life, but to look at your life. And that's what I want to challenge us to do. And when I say us, I mean myself included. To look at these stories that Jesus told in a way to challenge us. To really look at ourselves and to see, okay, in this story and what Jesus is trying to say, what's the message here? Where would I find myself? Where would I be in that particular story? You see, here's the thing. There's a lot of people, a lot of church people, that blame the church because their spirituality is failing. Okay. Remember, we had a father one time, again, long time ago, this father in the church came, and he was really angry and upset at me as the preacher and at the church, because in his view, we had failed him and his family because neither one of his children were faithful in the Lord. And as I talked with him, you know, and I just kind of listened. You know, it's like, what do you say? Because here's a man who was, you know, what we might refer to as a Sunday morning only Christian. The only time he ever came to Bible class was if he were teaching a Bible class. His children, although we tried so many times to involve his children in youth activities and devotionals, they wouldn't participate. But yet it was the church's fault, and it was my fault that his children weren't interested in the Lord. And the reason that I point that out is because it's the idea that a lot of people depend entirely on the church for their own salvation. Okay? What's the church doing rather than what am I doing? And I think that a lot of times we look at the church as being the ones who are responsible for getting me to heaven. And if that's your concept, I'm here to tell you this morning, it won't work. It doesn't work that way. And Jesus tells this parable that we're going to look at this morning. It's the parable of the 10 virgins. He tells this story, and you need to understand the context is of the end times. There were those who were questioning Jesus about what's going to happen, you know, at the end times. When everything is finished, what's going to take place? And Jesus gave some really strong, powerful teachings on, you know, the second coming and when he comes back and the judgment and all of those things. That's what this whole section of Matthew is all about in this one parable. I want to take a look at this morning because it really focuses a lot on our individual responsibility before God. And realizing, as the Scripture says, that it is appointed to every man once to die and then the judgment. And every single one of us will stand individually before God and have to give an account. So, you know, we look at this parable this morning. And as we're looking at it, I want to challenge you to find yourself in this story that Jesus is telling. Look in Matthew chapter 25. And I threw the guys a curve this morning, and, you know, Tyrone was a little confused this morning because, you know, I had a different scripture reading than what the text is that we're studying. We're going to end with that scripture this morning. We're going to begin in Matthew chapter 25, where Matthew records for us that at that time, Jesus says, at that time the kingdom of heaven, and again, that time he's talking about is the end times, he says, it will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry came out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day nor the hour." And so, you see, what we have here is a wedding banquet, right? And you have people that are prepared, you know, for the wedding banquet, but the groom, he's not showing up at the time that they had set for themselves when he should be there. And they waited. And they waited until they had fallen asleep. And then the cry comes, the bridegroom is here, and 5 of them had extra oil. They were making sure that they had what they needed when the bridegroom arrived. The other 5 didn't bring any extra oil. So they found themselves not ready when the bridegroom arrived. They had to leave to go get oil, and the bridegroom arrived while they were gone, and they were shut out of the wedding feast. Here's some things that we look at, and we're talking about in your outline, you look at back in the day, and that's where we're looking at this parable as Jesus told it, and what was the message he was trying to get them to understand here. And the focus of this has to do with the fact that all of these virgins, all 10 of them, were in the right place, weren't they? Okay? And they were all there at the right time, weren't they? See? And they were all dressed properly. That's kind of assumed. In other words, they've gone to the wedding feast, you know, for that. And so you have your certain dress. And they all had their lamps with them, didn't they? So everything is good up to that point, isn't it? The problem is that half of them thought that they would be able to get by on the good deeds of the other half. And they were shut out of the feast. And the words were, "I never knew you." See? we can't allow ourselves to depend on someone else to do what we are supposed to be doing for ourselves. No one else can achieve your salvation for you. See? That's a personal responsibility that each and every one of us has. Let's go to the nowadays, okay? As we look at some of these parables, we're going to start with back then. Here's what Jesus was saying in this parable. But nowadays, what does that mean for you and I? What's the significance of this parable to us as a church and as individuals that make up this church? What would Jesus be saying to us? And again, more importantly, where do you find yourself in this parable? The modern day wedding feast would be that the 10 brides represent us, modern day churchgoers. That's us. We're all part of that wedding party that's waiting for the bridegroom. At least I am. Are you? You know, I'm waiting for him to come. You know, it's been 2,000 years, hasn't it? He hadn't come yet. Are you getting tired of waiting? Maybe a little sleepy? Half of the church members thought that they could get by on the good works of the other half. When the bridegroom appeared, half the church members were unprepared and they were shut out of the feast. The parable says that they were foolish because they were unprepared. You see, here's an important question, and this is so vitally significant to our relationship with God, and it's an individual thing. We've got to ask ourselves, do you worship a system instead of a Savior? Now think about that. Are you worshiping a system instead of a Savior? Are we caught up, in other words, in the group mentality where we've lost sense of our individual responsibility? Where we begin to be convinced that because I'm a part of this particular group, then I'm okay. Brother Terry Bell, in his book, Watch the Lamb, said it this way. Do you think you are a Christian because you've completed the right steps and every Sunday engage in the right acts? Do you think you are a Christian because you meet in a building with the right name on the sign out front? Do you think the fact that you sing in one particular style and use certain names for your preacher make you pleasing to God? If we are interpreting this parable correctly, then you may be surprised to discover that someday, like the five foolish bridesmaids, you were in the right place at the right time doing the right thing, but with an empty lamp. Each and every single one of us has to have his own oil for the lamp. Because we never know when the bridegroom is going to come. We've got to have our own oil. Because every single one of us is the light of the world. How are you going to shine for the world to see if your lamp doesn't have any oil in it? Our personal relationship with God is what's going to save us, not what group we belong to. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I am not in any way, shape, or form suggesting that it doesn't matter what church you belong to. It does. From the standpoint of that we have to be doing what God wants us to be doing. and following God's law, as we talked about in our Bible class this morning. You see, the point is that simply belonging to that group is not going to get us into heaven. Because every single one of us has an individual personal responsibility in our relationship with God. We won't make it to the feast with an empty lamp. If we're just trying to rely on the group and everybody else to do what we should be doing ourselves. Okay, so that brings us to the whole issue and question of filling up our lamps. Okay. How do we fill up our lamp with oil? Well, when you read through the Scriptures, one of the things that becomes very clear is that oil oftentimes represents the Holy Spirit and spiritual nourishment. See? And so, you know, we look at the whole idea of filling our lamp with oil as being synonymous with being filled with the Spirit. Okay. David, if you recall, when he was anointed to become the king, was anointed with oil, and the Scripture says in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 13 that he was filled with the Spirit after he was anointed. The psalmist in perhaps the best or the most well-known psalm of all, the 23rd Psalm, says what? Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Okay. We fill our lamps then by being filled with the Spirit. The Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 5 and verse 18 says it this way, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Okay? In other words, fill your lamp with oil so that you're ready when the bridegroom comes. Because we don't want to be left outside after the doors have been closed. Jesus tells us how we fill ourselves with the Spirit in the text that was read for us as we began this morning in John chapter 7. Turn back over there, if you will. Verse 37, Jesus on the last and greatest day of the feast, stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Who do you think that's referring to? That's us. Those who later were to believe in Him, that's us. You receive. How do we know that? Well, go back over to Acts chapter 2. Peter on the day of Pentecost, when he was speaking to the people, what was the response that he gave to those who were cut to their heart? And they realized the sin that they had been involved in crucifying the Messiah. And they said, men and brethren, what do we do about this? And Peter said, repent. Right? What else did he say? And be baptized for the remission of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and for your children. And for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. That's us today. And any who come after us. have the opportunity to be filled with the Spirit, to have your lamp filled with oil. But understand something. This is not just a, you know, fill me up and then the lamp just keeps on burning forever. It is a constant refilling that comes from our relationship with Jesus Christ. That is being prepared for His return. What's going to happen when the Lord comes back again? That's, you know, one of the perhaps most talked about topics in religious circles today. Everybody talking about, you know, what the book of Revelation has to say about the end times and, you know, what's going to happen to the world and all of those things. Well, you don't even have to go there. Just read this parable. And it'll give you a good glimpse into what's going to happen in the last days. That's what Jesus is talking about. And understand the focus here, again, it's not just on those folks out there that we oftentimes refer to, that is the lost. The focus of this story is on those who are following Him. That's us. Okay? It's real easy to look out there and to say, well, boy, all those folks need to get their lamps filled with oil or they're going to be lost, right? But the point of this parable is for His followers to look at themselves and to say, do I have enough oil in my lamp? Because I don't know when He's going to come. See? Where do you find yourself in this story? That's what I want you to be thinking about while we're singing our invitation song this morning. Where would you be in this story? Would you be one of those five wise who brought extra oil and you see yourself as someone who is constantly being filled and renewed by the Spirit in your life because of your relationship with God? Or would you find yourself as being one of those foolish who's depending on everyone else to get you to heaven? Where do you find yourself in this story? While we're singing this song that we use as an invitation song, if you find yourself perhaps amongst the foolish, then please, I urge you, don't stay there. You're not promised and you're not guaranteed to get home today. Okay? Say it's a nice day and I got all these plans and I'm going to get this done, I'm going to get that done. You're not promised that. So is your lamp filled with oil? Are you ready for the Lord to come right now? If you're not, then you need to get ready. That's the message. Okay? If you need some forgiveness for sin that's keeping you from being what God wants you to be, then get that. Just ask for it. God will give it to you. If there's some changes in your life you need to make, then start making them. And if we can help you with that, then let us know. Consequences are too dire to be shut out of the wedding feast than to hear, I don't know you. Those are eternal consequences. If we can help you in any way at all, that's what we want to do. All you have to do is come up and let me know, what can we do to help you to fill your lamp if it's empty? And if your lamp is full, maybe you just need some more guidance and help in being more of what God wants you to be. Let us know that. That's what we want to do. We're for one another. That's how the church works together, you see. Ted will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer with him or talk with him privately. I'll be up here in the front to receive anyone that would like to come up. Let's help you to fill your lamp with oil if it's empty or to regenerate it even if it's full. Whatever you need, that's what we want to do. Let's stand together and sing.